there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
I'm going to read today from the Gospel of Mark, two short verses, but really two short verses that expand throughout the Gospels. We'll get to that. We're reading Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Hear now then the word of God. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we just ask you today that you reveal your word to us. You illuminate it, Lord, the living word of God, Jesus Christ. He came also to teach, and we want to understand him more and abide by his teachings. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and make a difference in our lives today by your power, by your wisdom, by your knowledge. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. As we follow our teachings over Lent, you know, we started with the idea of Jesus being baptized and his 40 days in the desert. We went then to the idea of what did he do right after that? He went and he proclaimed the Word of God. And associated with that afterward, very quickly after he started his ministry, he did healings of all kind, miracles abounded. And the fourth thing that we're going to look at today in the life of Jesus Christ is, what was he sent to do? One of those things was to teach. To teach. Now, we have all had teachers in our lives at some point. And we were talking about this today in Sunday school. You know, did you ever go into class and one of your teachers is teaching on a subject, and it's kind of like you get this sense like, I don't know if they know what they're talking about. I mean, you know, do they really know this beyond one or two questions deep? I mean, I've had teachers like that. Have you? Now let's look at the other extreme. Have you had teachers that you, when you went into class and they began to teach, it's like, whoa, wow, this, I want to listen to this guy, this girl, this woman, because they know what they're talking about. When I was in seminary, I had a teacher, Dr. Spear, and I loved going to his class because he taught with authority. And it wasn't an authority because he was a PhD or anything like that. It was an authority because he taught the truth, and it just emanated from him. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever experienced that with a teacher? Well, it's the same sort of thing that they were experiencing with Jesus. You know, he didn't go to the sages of the time that took young Jewish kids in. He didn't spend 18 years, you know, in rabbinical school at all. He was a carpenter in Nazareth, of all places. But he was a carpenter in that Galilean region. And all of a sudden, he's coming in and teach. And it says in our readings that they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority. See, Jesus was the greatest teacher there could ever be. And when he came incarnate, and when he grew up, when he was ordained into his mission, when he began his ministry, he was on a mission to teach. John 13:13, he tells his apostles, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." He proclaimed himself as a teacher. He set himself out as a teacher. Jesus' ministry, once again, is this beautiful diamond that you cut into different facets that just make it so appealing and luxurious. And one major aspect of this is his teaching, of his holy work, is his teaching. When you research Jesus' teaching ministry, it's crazy. Like when you look at the word for teaching in the Greek and you look at it all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you find is that Jesus taught in the morning, he taught in and around noontime, he taught at night, he taught practically in any place, on the waterfront, on the shores, on the mount, in a house, as he was walking, the many miles that he walked over the course of his ministry, he taught all the time in front of just about anybody who would listen. And though primarily his disciples who followed him from place to place, and then later on, a year and a half in his ministry, privately to his apostles, the 12 apostles. The language of teaching is used 300 times in the whole Bible. But there's a concentration of 120 times it's used in these short Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, compared to the whole Bible. 40% of the time, it's talking about Jesus teaching. And so as this carpenter from Nazareth is walking around and he's going from place to place, who recognized him as a teacher? You know, was it evident to people, in other words? And it was. He was recognized as the teacher wherever he went. He was referred to teacher or rabbi by scribes, by Pharisees, by Nicodemus in John chapter 4, if you remember, in chapter 3 rather, by the Sadducees, by the Herodians, tax collectors, rich men, poor men, rulers, Martha, Mary, his disciples, Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, even Judas and Jesus himself. 60 times recognized as a teacher. And again, where did Jesus teach? He taught on the seashore. He taught on the mounts. He taught in fields. He taught in synagogues. He taught in the temple, walking from town to town, in cities and towns, in front of great crowds, in intimate gatherings, in boats, in the upper room, the Garden of Gethsemane, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. He was a walking living teacher of truth. Now, you all know that you've sat in classrooms before, whether in high school or college or so forth, and you sit there, what, half hour, 45, 50 minutes, where most classes were in high school, college. And what happens at that, like, 40th minute? Huh? You start getting like, oh, let me get out of here. You know, you get into the 50th minute and you're like looking at your clock. But though some teachers, like we talked about before, you go in to listen to them, you'd want to stay there even longer. I guess most of us would say that we probably wanted to look to get out of there. And that occurred in high school, that occurred in grade school, that occurred in college for me. But Jesus, think about his disciples. He taught everywhere. He was the Son of God that came on earth, who was the Word of God, who this whole Bible and Scripture is all about. And he walked and taught and talked. And you never read kind of where anybody got tired. I mean, other than in the Garden of Gethsemane where he was praying and the apostles fell asleep, if you remember. They listened to him. They followed him. They listened to him for 3.5 years. And some disciples fell away, right? John chapter 6, if you read that, some disciples fell away, couldn't abide by his teaching. But many of them stayed. And they listened to him in all of these situations, morning, noon, and night, by the seashore and the mount and so forth. He taught all of those who followed him. He taught his disciples. He later taught his apostles. He taught women. He taught men. He taught rich. He taught poor. Scribes, Pharisees, Nicodemus, Sadducees. What did he teach? I believe that in looking at the Gospels, you can break down Jesus' teaching into several broad categories. He taught about the Old Testament, which would have been the Hebrew Bible, right? Of the time. Remember, at Jesus' time, there was no New Testament. He taught on the Hebrew Scriptures many, many times, we'll see. He taught theology, and he taught morals, godly morals. Wherever he went, he spoke the truth. He was the living word. He revealed the living truth. He often teach and referred to the Old Testament. In John chapter 6, 43, Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." Jesus referenced either directly or indirectly the Old Testament 60 times. He quoted the, think of this, now, he is the living word of God, right, that we get from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was, yes. He is the living word walking on the face of the earth, and so the words of that Hebrew Bible, which is our Old Testament, are his words, are his own teachings. They come and flow from God into men through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Moses and the prophets who wrote the Old Testament. He taught on the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he said to them, "All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now, Jesus directly quoted Scripture at least 45 times. Makes it very clear in his ministry at the Sermon on the Mount that the people not think, remember we said in Matthew 5:17, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Teaches about the kingdom of heaven in 8 parables. He teaches the stone that the builders rejected, quoting Psalm 118. He reminded them of the greatest commandment, right? Remember when they approached him and said, "Well, what do you think of this is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others like yourself." Quoting from Deuteronomy 6:5 and quoting from Leviticus 19:18. He recognized, this is important, Jesus looked back and he recognized the historicity of Adam and Eve. Jesus did. So Adam and Eve isn't, in Jesus' mind anyway, is not a metaphor of the beginning of time and people and the evolution of things to come and so forth. That's not. He looked at Adam and Eve as historical people. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to earth and walked this earth, then what did he believe about Scripture? He affirmed Adam and Eve. He affirmed Moses. He affirmed the writings and miracles of Moses. In our adult Sunday school today, we talked about how Jesus even affirmed, this is a hard one to swallow, he affirmed Jonah being in the belly of a fish, being thrown overboard. In the book of Jonah, if you remember, God called him to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to do it, so he started running away. And then the people threw him over the boat, and a big fish swallows him up. And he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And ultimately, the fish ends up spitting him out on the shore, and he makes his way then to Nineveh. Jesus affirmed that. Jesus said, that was true. And I'm going to give you a sign like Jonah. 3 days I'll be in the bowels of the earth and rise again. So Jesus looked at the Old Testament and he believed what was in there. He knew what was in there. He could quote what was in there easily. Bring it up. He revealed the historical, progressive, redemptive writings of the Old Covenant in himself and in his ministry. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ of the Old, that the Old Testament was pointing to. And so it's no surprise that when he quoted Scripture, he would use Scripture to explain more clearly what it spoke of. Paul later writes, roughly 20 years later in the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so Jesus taught. He quoted Old Testament Scripture, the Hebrew Bible at the time. He affirmed the prophets in the Old Testament. He affirmed many things that we think today, that couldn't have happened, but he affirms it as true. So in Jesus' teaching, he teaches theology, the study of God. He taught the very truth of God. You know, theology is literally in terms in the Greek is speaking of God, theos and logos. And a theologian is one who speaks of God. And when you think about it, who could possibly be the best theologian ever?
Jesus.
Who could possibly be the best theologian ever?
Jesus.
Amen? The very Word of God come to the earth to explain the theology, to explain speaking of God, one who speaks of God. Now, you can argue that, you know, all of Jesus' teaching involved theology at some point. You know, he, in Luke 24:44, all things are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He spoke of the truth of redemptive history, God's work. He speaks of salvation in John chapter 10 when he talks about his sheep hearing the voice of the good shepherd. And they follow him because they know his voice. He also does this a number of times. He counsels against false doctrine, against false teachers many times. In fact, those are the times when he gets the most angry, we see. He counsels against listening to false theologians, in other words, in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so in speaking the truth as this theologian speaking of God, he says to his apostles while praying in the upper room before his crucifixion the night before, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. John 17, 17. The word is the truth in how we learn how to be saved, how we learn who Messiah is, how we can be set apart daily for the work of God, all contained in the truth of God. And the thing of it is that it's absolute truth. Absolute truth. It's not relative truth. And we have to be very careful of not getting caught into that trap, this modern day trap that, you know what, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And you know what I believe, don't go interfering with me and I won't go interfering with you. And so because of that, you have disparate understandings of origins. You have disparate understandings of the nature of man. You have different understandings of salvation, or if we even need that. You have the advent of philosophy. You have the advent of psychology to try to fill this hole in the heart that people have. Every human being has. Nothing fills it like Jesus Christ, the truth of God. There is absolute truth, and it comes from Christ. So he spoke of the Old Testament. He spoke of theology. He taught morals, godly morals. In Matthew 7:12, Jesus taught, in everything, therefore, the golden rule, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This is what it talks about. We should behave as his followers because he gave us many examples of morals that we should follow. A lot of them are contained in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. You know, he taught gentleness, he taught humbleness, he taught mercy, righteousness, pure hearts, resilience, perseverance, peacefulness in the Beatitudes. chapter 5. He taught courage. He taught compassion, sincere boldness, and obedience. In chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. In verses 20 to 30, even thinking badly of somebody is the same as committing murder. You know, your internal thoughts are even sinful, not just what you outwardly do. So sincere purity of your thought life is important. He teaches us that trust and unselfish love in marriage is going to stop divorce. Teaches the value of a trustworthy word is better than making a vow to somebody. Let your no be no and your yes be yes. That's what he says. You don't need to make a vow. Just let how you speak and how you are and how you act with people be evident of your vow and your truthfulness. Chapter 6, he teaches us to be humble. He teaches us to pray rightly, to love God inwardly, to be God-focused, not world-focused, to desire to serve God. Chapter 7, he teaches us not to be hypocritical judges of others, but to help others out of true concern, out of true compassion, out of true love. To guard our holiness in honoring our Lord, having a loving relationship with God. He teaches all these things, and he sums it all up by teaching that hearing his words and acting on them out of genuine inward love for God is what our Lord desires and what he wants us to desire. Teaching. Now, beloved, just in conclusion, all of these things, all of the teaching in the world doesn't make any difference at all. Unless what? Yeah, unless you believe, unless you do it. If he's teaching godly morals, you do godly morals. If Jesus is teaching about the Old Testament and being true, you believe it's true. Read it like it's true. Jesus believed it. Jesus knew the truth. If he teaches theology, understand what he's getting at and teaching. Dig deeper into his words. And understand that from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the 21st chapter of Revelation, that Jesus speaks through all of it. All the teaching in the world is useless without action. He wants us to act. The power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts, we're compelled to act. Don't refuse it. It's one of the last things that Jesus says in Matthew 28 is to go into all the world and what? Make disciples of all nations. It's active. And he finally says to his apostles who've been with him for 3.5 years, here's my words, here's my theology, here's my teaching, here's the proof of my divinity, here's my messiahship, here is my Christology that I am giving you. All of this contained in the last 3.5 years that you've been with me. Now take this and go. Go. Beloved, Jesus' teaching is true truth. It's true truth. Read his words. Embrace his guidance. And share the light of life wherever you go. That's what our teacher wants. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you today to listen to your teaching, to understand your words better, to hear your call on our hearts so that we can be more like Jesus, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we can take this Bible that is the written word and absorb it as the living word of God. Jesus himself teaching us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit giving us that wisdom and knowledge to illuminate those words in our lives. That we can love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. To be able to go out with all of our strength. Holy Spirit, drive us and guide us today. do the will of the Father in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And we all pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.